And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. It is First Amendment Friday. We're going to get a lot of your calls in today. I'm excited about that because you all always have interesting things to say. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'm particularly elated today. I don't mention them much, but it seems appropriate to do so today. There's a left-wing rag called Right Wing Watch, and what they do is keep an eye on people who they consider to be a threat to their Marxist, socialist, communist plans for our country. And of course, I'm one of the people that they light on from time to time. And I've started a new program called The Wisdom Meditation at 8:30 every morning, and it's on Monday through Friday and 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday, and we're still working out Sunday, but technically it's supposed to be at 8:30 on Sunday, but that's presenting a little bit of a problem since I've got to get to church, so we're trying to work that out. But it's on 7 days a week nevertheless. And was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday that I did a riff on all of this drag queen story time nonsense, which I mentioned a little bit yesterday. Oh, and they just, they just went crazy on that. They just thought that was, because I pointed out, A, that I believe that drag queen story time is child abuse, that it is pedophilia. I mean, what is the point of exposing a child to a sexual deviant? What's the point? Other than to recruit that child into that sexual deviancy. And that's what it is. It is sexual deviancy. You remember there was a time, and I remember this most from, movies and things I've read about Germany, where they would have these transgender or transsexuals, or I guess we call them transvestites in the past, where people would go to these nightclubs and they would see these transvestites dancing and parading around men basically dressed as women, and I guess sometimes women dressed as men. In fact, I think there was a movie put out that was a story about this. This goes back 25, 30 years. One of the big actors or actresses was part of it, and she was pretending to be, I think, a man, and she was really a woman. At any rate, that's adult entertainment for those adults who want that. What is the purpose of bringing children into that? Other than child abuse, sexually abusing the mind and emotion of that child, and potentially recruiting that child to whatever sexual deviancy you want that child exposed to. And I said that parents who would take their children to such a thing should have those children taken away from them. That's right. And they went, of course, ballistic. Now, look, I'd rather a child be to take the risk. I was raised in foster care, and my foster parents were kind people. They were wonderful people, and they were not my biological parents, and I had a lot of anger and resentment over that. But it wasn't anger and resentment over the treatment that I got. It was just anger and resentment over why, unlike people that I knew, my friends, I couldn't be with my real parents. But I'd rather take a chance on foster care or adoption than have a child raised in a sexually deviant situation where parents are exposing that child to the kind of things that will make that child sexually and morally confused, perhaps all of his life, but for the deliverance that might come through Almighty God. Well, they didn't like that. So I don't know whether you all are familiar with Right Wing Watch. If you're not, believe me, you're not missing anything. But you know what? I'm elated that they printed it. Because when they printed it and gave the audio too, because when they do that, they use all my words. I have to give them credit. They don't splice and dice. Now, where they start and where they end and what they choose to talk about is another matter. They've never printed anything about me saying I would defend a homosexual from abuse, from attack, that I would literally put myself in harm's way to defend a person who I thought was being unjustly and inappropriately attacked because of his or her sexual orientation. That's not the love of God, and I would never countenance that. Now, they'll never print that. They'll never talk about that because they don't want anybody to know that I would say such a thing. They want to paint me as a hater and a bigot and this, that, and the other. But the reason why I'm elated is I'm confident of this, folks. My faith is on this, that some of those people in places like that are going to get saved. They're going to hear some of what I say, and the love of Jesus is one day going to grab them, and they're going to get up and walk out and say, you know what, I quit. Because E.W. Jackson is right. Jesus is real, and God's word is true. And I've been on the wrong side of this for who knows how long, and walk out. So yeah, Right Wing Watch, keep playing my stuff. Keep exposing it to people, and the Holy Spirit is going to grab hold of somebody one day, and maybe more than one somebody one day. And you're going to end up losing some people because they're going to say, you know what? I agree with E.W. Jackson. You know, I agree with Jesus. I agree with the word of God, because that's the power of God's word. And that's often what I'm sharing. I was teaching out of Proverbs chapter 17. I'll take a verse that I can only cover, you know, a few verses in a chapter. I can't teach the whole chapter and all of its verses, but I pick out some of the verses. And I will apply those, of course, to the issue of the day. He's supposed to be teaching the Bible, but of course he can't help but talk about, you know, things that have to do with current affairs. Well, the Bible is always current. The Bible applies to everything. And it's precisely these pastors and ministers who won't apply the word of God to the issues of the day that have allowed us to get to this degenerate position we are in as a culture. And yes, the word of God applies. It applies to abortion. It applies to homosexuality. It applies to adultery. It applies to fornication. It applies to personal relationships of all kinds, because the word of God sets forth the wisdom that allows us to navigate the issues of life. The word says he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he's done all that by exceedingly great and precious promises. So all things, I think all means all, right? All things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, everything with regard to life, even those things that you might not directly relate to godliness, the Bible says God has given us wisdom for all those things. So I want to commend them for giving me an opportunity to speak to an audience that I probably would not otherwise reach. That's why I'm elated about it. Even though they're criticizing me, I don't care about that. That's no big deal. You know, Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. I'm in pretty good company there. Okay, I'm going to start taking your calls as early as I can. So get ready. The number is 888-589-8840. Now, one thought, I probably won't be able to finish it before our first break, but I do want to get this much out. You know, yesterday I shared where I think the left wants to take this country: the repeal of the Constitution, the repeal of the denunciation of the Declaration of Independence as invalid. You know, because it was written by racists and all that, and the Constitution is racist. You know, the whole deal. And we're going to fresh start. We're going to reconstitute America. I think that's where they'd like to go if they could ever create a one-party state in our country, where they had enough people going along. I think that's where they would ultimately go. But, you know, I was thinking earlier today about this whole issue of two-thirds of the American people, when polled, believed that we could be in a civil war within 5 years. I've always opposed that idea. But I thought, what would it take to create that? I'm going to share that when we come back.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, our world has changed significantly since the November election, and that raises the reasonable question of whether we've been played. Victor Davis Hanson provides a few examples in a recent commentary, and I will add some others. For example, perhaps you have noticed the disappearance of all the protests. Where is Antifa and BLM? A week or two before the election, the flood of violence in cities subsided, perhaps for fear that it might affect the election. Has systemic racism and excessive force by police just disappeared? What about all the concerns about the coronavirus? Not so long ago, Andrew Cuomo, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris expressed their concerns about the Trump vaccine. Now it seems like it'll be successful. They might even decide to call it the Biden vaccine. And isn't it interesting that Pfizer only announced their progress on the vaccine after the election? In fact, this summer, executives at the company did not update the president or the media about their progress. They only contacted the Biden campaign. 3 months ago, we were hearing from Democratic leaders that it was dangerous to send kids back to school. That's why we had to shut down the schools and reject the calls from the president and the Secretary of Education to get students back in the classroom. Now it's time for the kids to go back to school. You know, 4 years ago, many Democratic leaders and the media suspected that voting machines might have been hacked. Even last year, you had Senator Elizabeth Warren concerned about unsecured computer systems and ambiguous rules about matching signatures on ballots. Now they argue the electoral system is perfect. Any claims of fraud are either insignificant or non-existent. Yes, so much has changed in the last few weeks, and it is tempting to think that all of us have been played. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Here's a great thing to consider doing right now before the end of the year. Call MediShare and find out just how much you would save by switching to MediShare, the affordable alternative to health insurance. When you call, you'll get some good news and probably be very happily surprised too. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. It's so worth it to at least find out. And you'll see why more than 400,000 people are already members. MediShare is a Christian community that shared more than $4 billion in each other's healthcare costs. It really is remarkable, and they're very easy to talk to. And here's the thing. If you join before the end of the year, they'll waive your new member fee. That's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second. The call, and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is December 31st, so call now. You'll save even more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. There is one last final chance for Congress to stop the steal. It comes on January 6th, and I'll explain. A city councilman in Seattle called the police to report a crime she wants to legalize. Dr. Doom does not want you to spend Christmas with your family. And Minnesota businessmen defy the governor's unconstitutional lockdown edicts. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I rarely get to calls in this segment, but I'm going to try to do that in this one. Let me raise a couple of issues before we come to your calls. Now, you all know my position on this whole thing of a civil war in our country. I'm against it. I oppose it. I denounce it. I don't want it. I'm believing God for an awakening. That's my solution. Not violence, but an awakening. But, you know, since we've had a number of polls and a lot of reflection, articles written about, you know, is America headed for a civil war? And so I have to think about these issues, even though I know I don't want to see anything like that happen. I was thinking, well, what would it take to spark something like that? And I ran across something yesterday that hit me. Okay, this is the kind of thing that might do it. It is a recommendation by a transgender activist. Oh my goodness gracious. My screen is going blank here. What was it? The liberal gremlins are getting at me. But a transgender activist who goes by the name of Zinnia. Zinnia is a biological male, okay? But identifies as a woman. And Zinnia is calling, you ready for this? Zinnia is calling for the mandatory giving, here it is, the mandatory giving of puberty blockers to all children until they decide their gender. No, I'm not kidding, folks. The mandatory injection of all children with puberty blockers until that child decides his or her gender. Zinnia Jones. No, I'm serious. This is what's being suggested. And you know, when one person says this, you know this kind of stuff is being talked about in more circles than just this one person. This is something that this individual, this man, because it's a man, not a woman, this man is discussing with all of his confused friends. And look, of course, as soon as this was announced, a lot of people raised objections and said, well, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. And here's how Zinnia responded. First of all, she says in a tweet, if children can't consent to puberty blockers, which pause any permanent changes, even with the relevant professional evaluation, how can they consent to the permanent irreversible changes that come with their own puberty with no professional evaluation whatsoever? Now, that may be double talk to you. I had to think about this a few times, read it a few times. See, what is she saying? Here's what she's saying. Children already consent to, shall we say, gender development because puberty happens and they consent to that. There's only one problem. They don't consent to it. It's part of their biological makeup. And she's acting like, well, if they can consent to that, they can consent to puberty blockers. And then she says to people who object, for the record, I understand y'all just aren't capable. Y'all, that's her word. Y'all, I understand that y'all just aren't capable of wrapping your heads around something like this, because if you could, then you wouldn't be the way you are. It's probably best to step away and have a juice box. This is beyond your level. Yeah. Arrogant. Defiant. What would happen in this country if we actually ended up with a government that mandated that every child would get puberty blockers until that child decided his or her gender? I'll tell you, folks, and I know the left who monitors this program will go crazy, but I think that's the kind of thing that could lead to violence. Because I think their parents would say, no, you will not. And I think they'd look for ways to avoid it, hide it, get their children out of public schools, away from institutions. But I think if push came to shove and somebody was actually trying to force puberty blockers on a child, I think a parent would fight to stop it. Now, here again, I don't want anything like that to happen, but here's what I believe. I believe that the left is going to continue to push the envelope because they have no moral parameters within which they operate at all. Not when it comes to personal morality. They, sure, climate change, oh yeah, we're highly moral. But this is insanity. And you know what, they're talking about mandating the vaccine for children. But I heard Dr. Sapphire say on Fox News this morning that children are not susceptible to the disease and children have not been tested in the rollout of the vaccine, and it would be irresponsible to start injecting children. Well, I'm glad to hear that. The number is 888-589-8840. As promised, we're going to get to calls in this segment. Now, look, it's First Amendment Friday. That means you can bring up any subject you want, one that I've talked about, or one that I haven't talked about, or one that we've talked about throughout the week that you didn't feel got sufficient attention, or you've got some new insights that you want to share. Either way, happy to have you call in. Let's get right to your calls. Let's go to David in Mississippi. David, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, David. You're on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Jackson.
okay.
I just wanted to call and just make this comment that I think you're going to see more and more and more of the Hunter Biden scandal on all national news. They're going to use this to just kind of ease elect Biden out of office so Ms. Harris can just move right on in. They won't have to have any help from Congress. They'll just say that he's crooked. We're going to get rid of him. They'll probably offer him a deal, so he will just step down. And I think you're going to see Ms. Harris move right on in with her again.
David, you have a rare grasp of the conspiratorial mind. And while I am not a conspiratorial thinker, I think, David, look, whether somebody has kind of concocted this in advance or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the scenario that you're suggesting, I don't consider that far-fetched at all. I think Biden is in real trouble. And this could be precisely the mechanism that they use to move him out and put Kamala Harris in. And, oh, brother, talking about being out of the frying pan and into the fire. Thanks for the call, David. We appreciate it. Let's go to Bob in Tennessee. Bob, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Thank you so much for your service and dedication, and I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
This thing about the liberals talking about fussing at you about saying take the kids away from their parents and put them in a foster home. Well, they keep saying these kids aren't yours anyway, so what's the difference?
Right. And look, you're so right, Bob. I've told my audience that when I was in Massachusetts practicing law, I had to defend parents who the Department of Social Services wanted to take their children because they spanked them. And here again, I would never have been part of any abuse of a child. We're not talking about abuse. We're talking about proper discipline of a child. And I believe that spanking is one of the tools, not the only one, but one of the tools that a parent can use to discipline a child. But they wanted to take the children away for that. And they wanted to take the children away because the parents were forcing the children to go to church. They considered that to be abuse. And yet, taking your child to watch some sexual deviant do who knows what and say who knows what to these young, impressionable children, that's great. Oh, yeah. In fact, what do you think about, before I let you go, Bob, what do you think about this idea of forcing all children to have puberty blockers until they're ready to choose their gender?
It's going to harm the children, and there's no other way to say it. And I would not be for it. I think it's illegal and in all aspects.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for the call. Yeah, you're right. It's unconstitutional in my view. And I think if something like that were to be tried, there would be lawsuits and there'd be all kinds of stuff. In fact, one of the criticisms I've gotten from the LGBTQZRYBALN whatever movement is that when I said if I saw someone trying to persuade or seduce my child with some kind of homosexual literature, that's when I, you know, when I was a young man and my children were young, I said there might have been violence. I'm just being honest. You know, if you're not willing to relent and you're trying to do something to my child that I as a parent object to, we're going to have a problem. And they say, oh, see, that just goes to show he's hateful. But Annie, see, and you know, this was my answer. Because they can't be parents in any natural way, they don't understand the affinity that parents have and the desire and the willingness and the lengths to which we will go to protect our children. I mean, they can't experience that because they've chosen a lifestyle or however they got there that just doesn't lend itself to that. I mean, they got to go through all kinds of scientific gyrations and have the buddy sleep with this one and have this one injected and go through all kinds of stuff, trying to produce a little toy for themselves, which they then call a child, when it's really just a possession. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There's a game that most of us need to learn how to play. It's a real exciting and rewarding game. And it is a game that nearly every person can play with good results. The name of the game is how to play second best. Now, it's true that this game isn't a very popular one. Most of us don't like to play second best because most of us want to lead the parade. And it's nothing wrong, basically, with wanting to lead the parade. We wouldn't be worth much if we didn't want to be at the front of the march. But this is where playing the second best comes in. For any school child can tell you that a parade can only have a very limited number of leaders. The rest must follow. The real trouble comes when we don't get to lead the parade and must become one of the followers. Not many of us know how to do that and do it well. Too many times we let our disappointment turn into bitterness and we become critical of the one who is leading. All of us have experienced this, having to play the role of second best. Fact about the business is that every one of us must do it every day. No person can be a leader in everything. Every person must follow in some things. There were two brothers once who were commercial fishermen. One brother was a natural leader. The other brother was destined to always be second best. Wherever the two were introduced, the introduction went something like this. Meet Peter and his brother Andrew. They are fishermen. Andrew was always the last one introduced. Even when Andrew was not with his leader brother Peter, he was still introduced like this. Meet Andrew, the brother of Peter. No matter where Andrew went, he was always second best, always Peter's brother. But playing second best didn't destroy Andrew. He knew how to play the game and played it like a pro. And anyone who knows the story about these brothers knows that Peter was what he was because of Andrew. There are some truths we need to learn in order to play the game of playing second best. First of all, second best doesn't necessarily mean one of smaller stature or of less importance. The backfield man does all the scoring and gets the publicity, but he'll be the first to tell you of the worth of the men up front. Then, too, being second best doesn't mean we haven't done our best. And if a person does his best, no one can ask him to do more regardless of what others are able to do. Real judgment comes not from comparing us against another, but comparing our results against our potential. For it's quite evident that all of us do not have the same number of talents. Andrew played the game like few people can. The thing that made Andrew great while playing second best was his deep-rooted humility. And unless you have that virtue, you'll never be able to play the game at all.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, a couple more things before I come back to the calls. You all know, of course, that AOC, I'm sure you've heard this, AOC is praising and defending what she calls sex workers as legitimate workers who need to be protected. And she wants the laws against sex trafficking changed to make sure that we're not interfering with the prostitutes. And now, do you see something wrong with this notion that women must be honored, women must be respected, women must be protected, women must be treated appropriately? Oh, but you know, let's make sure that women can easily be prostitutes because, after all, you know, that's legitimate. Do you see the contradiction in that? These people are so morally confused. They're like ducks trying to fly through a hailstorm. They don't know where they're going. They're just bouncing from pillar to post. They don't have a clue. That's one thing that I wanted to put out before you, just in case you hadn't heard that and somebody wants to comment on that. The other thing is, you know, I have now become convinced. I have been, frankly, leaning this way for a long time. I have now become convinced that while I know that COVID is a real disease and I know that it must be taken seriously and I know that it can take the lives of some people, I think that this thing has been so overblown that it's just it's shameful. Because, you know, once again, the CDC has rolled out these, reminded us in answer to some questions, pointed questions that were being put to them, that, you know, only 6% of the people who have been listed as having died of COVID, only 6% had COVID only, and their deaths were the result of COVID only. And the other 94% of the people who've died, quote unquote, of COVID had either died of something else, and because they had COVID when their bodies were tested, they listed it as a COVID death, or they had several comorbidities and they could not really identify, they couldn't say that COVID killed them, but if they had COVID, they were listed as having died of COVID. This came up because a Colorado county listed among their COVID deaths people who had been shot to death. And in the autopsy, when they found out they had COVID, instead of them being listed as having been murdered as a result of gunshot wounds, they listed them as COVID deaths. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Here's the other statistic. Do you know we've had 98% fewer flu deaths than last year? 98% less. Does that tell you something? Does that tell you that what we may be witnessing here is an inflation of these numbers to scare everybody and to control everybody when other things are happening? In fact, I haven't seen this data, but I've been told by reliable sources that we have fewer deaths overall in America than we had in 2019. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that a lot of deaths are being attributed to COVID that would have been attributed to something else. If you just take that number, I think the total number of deaths is 300,000. I haven't looked at that number in a while, but I think that's it. But if that's it, and only 6% of the people actually died of COVID, I mean, do you realize that's, what, 18,000 people? 18,000 people in a nation of 330 million. So, you know, I'm really losing patience with this whole thing. And then you had some idiot doctor come on and say, just because you've had the vaccine doesn't mean you can take off the mask. You can't let your guard down. You still have to social distance. I'm thinking, well, then what's the point? Lord, help us. 888-589-8840. Let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Linda in Missouri. Linda, welcome.
Hi, Bishop Jackson. Hi. I have to say I thank God for you. You speak the truth over the air. You speak common sense. You speak everything that we're thinking and believing in. And I thank God that he put you there to speak the truth.
Well, God bless you, Linda. Thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Very much wanting your opinion on two things. Number one, what do you see as a future for Christian parents who homeschool their children? And I know that, you know, the socialists want to shut that down. And if God somehow does not give President Trump the victory, I'm still praying for that, then, you know, years ago I heard in Denmark, Sweden, someplace, some Christian parents were homeschooling their children. The government's Child Protective Services removed the children from the home because they considered that child abuse.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I wanted to ask you, what do you think happened to Attorney General Barr? He seemed like such a tough on justice and was going to track down and, you know, demolish injustice wherever he found it. But then came the election, and he very meekly said, I haven't seen any evidence of fraud when even the most uneducated American can see it so plainly. There are witnesses signing affidavits. There are videos.
Yeah.
Do you think the Democrats had something on him because he's just going away?
Well, Linda, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for the compliment, too. We appreciate it. Look, on homeschooling, I think homeschoolers had better get ready for a fight. I think if you have leftists take over the federal government, now they don't really have anything to do with local schooling, but I think they will look for ways to pass legislation that makes life hard for homeschoolers. I think we ought to go to universal choice. I think that the dollars ought to follow the parent and the child, period. End of discussion. When the child is ready to go to school, the parent makes the choice as to what school the child goes to, and then whatever the appropriate amount of money is that's being spent on that child, that money then goes to that parent. And you can build in all kinds of safeguards to make sure that that money is not being used for other purposes and all of that, but that's what should happen. They're going to go in the opposite direction, so no question about that. And so homeschooling parents just better hunker down and just be ready for a fight. The other thing on Barr, you know, I think I don't know the man. So I heard him speak one time at an event I was at, and he was brilliant. I mean, he was on point. But I think there are a lot of people in the government who are institutionalists. And, you know, it reminds me of what Jesus said about the Sabbath when the scribes and Pharisees were putting all these restrictions on. And Jesus said, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And I think some of them forget that we weren't made for the government. The government was made for us. It was made to serve us. And I think they become more enamored of trying to preserve and to protect and defend institutions, even when those institutions are not doing what is right, than they are in preserving the rights and the freedoms and the privileges of the American people as the sovereigns of this nation. If I had to speculate on what happened with Attorney General Barr, that would be it. Now, here again, I don't know him, and there may be something more to it, but I see that tendency in a lot of people, even some who one would think to be conservative. They want to defend the institution. I think this guy, Eric Ray, of the FBI, I think he's another one. I don't think he wants to do anything that in any way disrupts. And look at all it took for them to get a briefing from him about Eric Swalwell. And Eric Swalwell should have been hauled before the Congress to report on his dalliances with this Chinese spy a long time ago. And finally, the FBI is going to give a briefing to Congress about that, maybe, and about some other things with regard to China. I mean, why? Why has it got to be like pulling teeth? I mean, the FBI wasn't elected. And God bless them. We got some great agents I know serving in the FBI. I've met some of them. But the FBI was not elected. They're appointed. They serve at the pleasure of the American people. And they report to the elected officials we send there to oversee them. So, yeah, there's a lot of institutional protecting going on right now. Back in a moment.
Friendships is offering an extraordinary opportunity to young men and women who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you'd be interested in? Learn more about Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins January 11th.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents
in His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
I think as a follower of Christ, I think it's clear that I look around and I see a lot of heartache.
Dr. Scott James on Focus on the Family Minute.
I have friends and family members and colleagues who are at funerals today. So I believe that we're in a situation here where a lot of people are hurting, and I'm discouraged by that. However, I do take a firm and confident lead from God Himself. And so, in the end, despite the hurdles that we're having to overcome right now, I trust that God is in control, and I trust that even pandemics and plagues occur for His glory and for our good in some ultimate sense, even if I can't see how things fit together in that moment. So I trust that He is in control. I'm not thrown by what the world is handing us right now. God is still seated on His throne, and He is still good.
Hear more from Dr. James at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Now, that example I gave you by this transgender about mandating that all children in America be injected with hormones to block puberty until they've made up their minds what gender they are, you say, well, that's pretty far-fetched. But you know, there are a lot of people in our country on the left, I don't know how many Democrats believe this, who really believe that gender is nothing but a social construct. Now, how they reconcile that with the idea that your body will go through certain biological changes to ratify, if you will, or confirm exactly what gender you are, male or female, how they reconcile that with it's just a social construct, I don't know. But if you had most of the people in the country actually believing that, why wouldn't they say, oh, well, then we need to stop letting children develop naturally because they may be a man in a woman's body or a woman in a man's body. So let's give them a chance to figure out what's inside of that body that they've got. And this woman addresses this issue too of choice. And she says, you'll love this. She says, natal puberty became optional the moment technology became available to enable deliberate choice between natal puberty and puberty induced by cross-sex hormones. It became a choice when it became a choice. And I'm really profoundly sorry if you cannot understand that. There you go. 888-589-8840. You've been waiting patiently. Greg in Tennessee. Greg, welcome.
Hello, Brother Jackson. You are truly appreciated.
Thank you, sir.
Science. What happened to science? I mean, these guys claim we're the science deniers, and it's too obvious. And I think a lot of our cultural and philosophical ideas have come from them teaching one thing for 50 years now, the evolutionary theory. And they've taught a theory, and now you don't hear people use theory in conjunction with evolution anymore. They teach it as it's evolution.
Yep.
It's a fact. And
yep.
It's a theory. And now people are allowed to theorize about their sexuality and theorize about their concept of life and reality. And we're living in mental illness is what we're living in. But, I mean, scientifically, every homosexual being came from a heterosexual union. God did not make them that way. That's science.
Mm-hmm.
Every person walking on this planet's life began at conception. That's science. Life begins at conception. And they are taking these things and theorizing about them. They're not accepting the scientific fact as God-given nature shows us and declares there is a creator, and they're denying it. And I keep telling people, and that's my other point. I keep telling people that we need to wait till Red Dawn becomes reality TV. And I heard on AFR this morning where they're hacking into our nuclear freezing.
Yep.
They're hacking into a lot of our institutions and all. And do we think under Joe Biden, that it's going to be harder for him to do these things? So, like I said, people need to watch Red Dawn because it's going to get to be reality TV.
Greg, thank you so much for the call. And Greg, you make some very, very excellent points. But, you know, for the left, science should be adhered to when it confirms their narrative. And when it doesn't, they ignore it. And by the way, let me just add, you prompted this. Two of the most evil figures to ever impact the culture of the world are Darwin and Marx. If you think about it, their ideologies, and Darwinism is an ideology. It is not entirely science. I mean, it's based on a lot of speculation. There's some science there, but it's based on a lot of speculation. Darwin and Marx have poisoned the world. Thank you for the call, Greg. Let's go to Myron in Texas. Myron, welcome.
Yes. I wanted to express my thoughts about this abortion thing. It's the same thing that happened over in Israel when they took into captivity. They cast their children into this belly of this idol, and they slew their children. And so I was reading the Harbinger number 2, and the brother Jonathan Kahn said that there's been over a billion babies slaughtered over the earth. So that's why this pandemic is spread all over the earth, because we've murdered all these innocent lives that wasn't able to defend themselves. So God is come down on a nation because of that. Millions of babies have been slaughtered, and the main culprit was in New York City, where it all began. So if this nation don't repent, God's going to bring judgment down on it. He's tired of this. So we're going to face this if we don't straighten up. I'm hoping, and all this, and this nation is full of idolatry.
All right, Myron. Listen, Myron, let me get on to some other calls. But look, here again, yeah, you raise a good point. I would only say this. You know, God doesn't have to bring judgment when you think of the principle in Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. And you're right, we have sown in many ways, we have sown the wind. And I've said before, I think what withholds the hand of judgment by Almighty God is the hearts of his people who are here crying out to him in repentance and in sorrow for the sins of our nation and asking God to please have mercy upon us, and are working hard to try to bring this nation back to its true key element for its success, which is a nation whose God is the Lord. Let's go to Terry in Mississippi. Terry, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. I've talked to you once before. I'm a pastor in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, and I really love your show. I was on hold yesterday when the show went off the air. But there's two avenues where Trump stays in office, and they need to be, the information needs to be put out there. The first is the Electoral College has to take the votes to the Senate president, which is Mike Pence. He can either accept it or not accept it based on fraud. If that happens, if he don't accept it, then it goes to the Congress. Each state has one vote. And 30 to 35 of the states are controlled by conservatives. So that way they would confirm him still being president. And the second one is a really, really hard one, but it's the insurrection clause in the Constitution. And he has a duty to uphold the Constitution. He took an oath in office that said he would do that. And this country's in trouble if we don't get this back. But we're even going to be in trouble if he is reelected to president. I believe we'll be in full-on civil war.
Wow.
Pastor Dana Coverstone had three dreams. And the last dream was what was going to happen between November and December. And it said that we would be And the first dream he had, he shared with his congregation, and it was going to happen between March and June, and it happened to a T. And he said, I'm not a prophet, but and I pray that God intervenes on this, that we don't do this. But it's out there, and we need this, number one, you and I as Marines. We might have to mobilize.
Okay, Terry, I got to take some other calls. I'm glad you got in today. Man, you know, we're facing a conundrum. And I, if you want my guess, I don't think, you know, that institutional thing I talked about earlier, I don't think the Congress, I don't think anybody in Congress, there's a couple of congressmen have indicated their willingness to challenge the Electoral College vote. I don't think most are. So, and if somebody in the U.S. Senate, my understanding is somebody in the U.S. Senate has to stand up. I don't think Mitch McConnell will. He's already made his position known. Hey, Terry, thank you for the thoughtful analysis there of what we're facing. We're praying and believing God, and he always has a plan no matter what the outcome is in a particular situation at a given time. God has a plan, and the plan always means he wins. Let's go to Gene in Iowa. Gene, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Gene.
Have you heard what Fauci said? I think it was Wednesday. He said that this vaccine was a particle going to be injected into the body, and the body was supposed to work on it and make it well. Isn't that herd immunity?
Well, my understanding is herd immunity happens when 70% of the people have had the vaccine, and at that point, the whole population now has resistance to it, and the vaccine, and the virus, in effect, dies. Gene, thanks for the call. Let me try to get a couple more in here before we have to go. Let's go to Juan in Ohio. Juan, welcome.
Bishop, I love
yes, sir.
The show. I love your point of view. You're based on the Bible, which is the Word of God. And, you know, it couldn't be any better.
You Thank
keep
you.
Referring to this person as a she, that confused trans. Gender person.
That's my fault because the picture looks like a woman, but it, yeah. But it's actually a man. So you're right. I started out calling him.
Don't let him get to you. That's all I have to say.
that's just a little lack of concentration on my part because you know the picture that they show looks like a woman. So you know you've got to really pay attention to these things because you're right. It can get to you. So but thank you, Juan, for pointing that out. Listen, Juan, thank you for the call. We're almost out of time. Let me try to get Chris in. Chris in Mississippi, you're going to close this out. You've got about 30 seconds, Chris. Have at it.
Hey, all right, Bishop. Bishop, I'm going to get right to it. Where the Christians, I'm one, and I pray and hope I'll be one day. I just want to know why we can uphold some of the commandments and not the others, like murder, for instance, but we let lying and stealing and fornication and adultery go by.
Well, you say we. What do you mean by we?
Well, I'm talking about Christians. Most Christians
do. Yeah. Well, listen, the Ten Commandments did not get repealed, and they're all still valid. And we ought to oppose all sin because all sin is against God and it's destructive. Thank you so much for the call. Folks, this has been a wonderful time. I've really enjoyed it. I enjoy First Amendment Friday. We get more of your calls in than any other time during the week. So thank you all for calling. Hey, look, have a wonderful weekend. Go to church. Worship the Lord. I hope your church is open. And in the meantime, remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.